Hallelujah. A love that surpasses knowledge. Amen. That we might be filled. Do you remember how it ends? With all the fullness of God. Amen. Aren't you hungry for more of Him tonight? Isn't it special and precious when His presence comes in and just begins to touch our hearts and revive us again, where God meets you right where you are and He begins to give you strength in your inner man? Just asking Father to restore to us the joy of our salvation. Amen. Just a return back to that rest in God, where we cease from our own works and we enter into His rest. We enter into the total reliance that it's all for His glory. It's all about Him. He finished the work. And at Calvary, Jesus said, it is finished. And our glory and boast is in the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're talking this morning, we're a people who are so needy, so desperate for God, and in need in this hour of not only a cleansing, as we heard, but a visitation. You've heard how many times the shepherd here, Pastor Scott, share on just God wanting to show Himself mighty. And in Isaiah 64, passage we've been hearing over these last years, so precious in verse 1, oh, that you would rend the heavens. God has come down, amen. His Spirit has been shed forth. Even as we see in the book of Acts chapter 2, but He wants to come and visit. He wants to come and fill our lives with His presence. He wants to come and bring life to the dry and empty places of our lives. Those areas in our hearts where we're not content, where we're not satisfied in Christ, where there's something else that has some kind of foothold or stronghold. Jesus wants to come into those areas of your heart and soul and break the power of those areas and then come Himself and replace that needs to be repented of, that needs to be cleansed, that needs to be washed, that needs to be forsaken. He Himself wants to come and take the place of whatever we're holding on to, and whatever it is, we know that the root of it is always holding on to self, right? The love of self. We can call it the love of pleasure, but it takes self to love it, right? So ultimately it's self, and Jesus paid the price to give us victory over self, right? Over self. An overcomer today over self, over sin. Can you say amen for that? Over Satan. Over this world. You and I are victorious, triumphant people. And we need to know it. And we need to boast in the Lord and be thankful for that finished work at the cross and in His resurrection. And He's our soon coming King. Praise God. What a glorious salvation. That's why Hebrews chapter 2 makes the statement, how shall we escape if we what? Neglect so great a salvation. I'm not focusing right now on the neglecting, even though that's part of it. But how great that salvation is, because the author of that salvation is none other than God Himself. Amen. Jesus is the author of that salvation. Just think that you and I have access to the throne. The throne of God. Come forth with confidence, Hebrews says. Come forth with confidence to the throne of grace. Just remember, when you're coming to that throne, it's a place of holiness, yes. It's a place of righteousness. It's a place of God's majesty. It's a place where there's no one as hallowed or like our God, amen. But it's also a throne of grace. And He says, come unto me, all you that labor, you that are heavy laden, come. Come to me. What an invitation. I could just meditate on that. You're like, yeah, how many times are you going to say come? But what a promise. What an invitation. What a heart for you. What a heart to receive you. What care and love for you as His child. And He says, just come and abide in me. Come into my embrace. Come and abide. Lean your head upon my bosom, just like John the Beloved. What a place of intimacy we have available to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence, as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil. He said, I'll baptize you. You know, when John spoke of Jesus, he said, he's coming forth and he will baptize you, what? In the Holy Spirit and what? Fire. And it says in Acts chapter 2, there appeared to them tongues. As cloven tongues of fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And I believe that fire is talking about the fire that burns the chaff and consumes and burns away the dross and the impurities in our lives. And I believe it's that fire also that kindles zeal and fervency in our lives. Because I believe in this hour, beloved, our hearts need to be stirred and kindled. There needs to be a kindling in our lives for the zeal of God, for the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Jesus said, the zeal of your house has eaten me up. As fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, look at this, to make your name known to your adversaries. How many of you believe God wants to humble his enemies? We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us in due time for his glory, for his eternal purpose. We don't wish destruction or harm on our enemies. But by the power of this word, he is going to crush and humble those that oppose him, who will not fall on the rock and be broken. That rock's going to fall on them and grind them to powder. God is not going to be mocked. To make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations, look at this, may tremble at your presence. How about in our own lives, not just the nations? I believe our lives need to be shaken, beloved, in such a way that the tenderness of our hearts toward his majesty, toward his holiness, toward his goodness, toward his loving kindness, our hearts would be captured by his love. Our hearts would be captured by how glorious, how good, how great, how awesome, how deserving he is of our heart's pursuit. There's too many things that are so inferior to his majesty that are consuming our lives with so much time and energy and effort. And he says, when are you going to love me more? When are you going to lay aside that weight and that sin that does so easily beset you? When are you going to get in my presence and taste again how good I am and see how much of me you could have had by now, except you've been distracted and drawn away of your own lust and allowed the love of pleasure to come in and seduce your heart from loving Jesus first and foremost and letting him be your all in all and letting him be your first love. Oh, that we would be set free tonight, dear brothers and sisters, that we would be set free, that our hearts would be so consumed with Jesus Christ, that our hearts would be so filled with his presence that we would only be able to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And our joy wouldn't be taken from us by circumstances and trials. And Jesus said, it's a joy that's supernatural. It's a joy that comes from being in my presence, from abiding in me. It's a joy that's unspeakable, Peter says. It's full of glory. It's your strength, Nehemiah says. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So we need to pray today, beloved, because some of us don't have that joy. Restore to me, Psalm 51. Restore what? The joy of my what? Salvation. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Joy. Break forth into joy. The song says, oh my soul, break forth into joy, oh my soul, praise God. He's good. He's been good to us. Amen. We have cause to rejoice. We have cause to be a thankful people. We're a blessed people. Are you walking in the blessedness that He's given you through the finished work of Calvary? Or what is it that you've allowed your flesh and selfishness and self-will and the enemy to come in and rob from you what He said you're a victorious people? When are you going to take what's yours? Matthew 11 says, the violent take it how? They take it by force, praise God. What has Satan robbed from you that belongs to you? The Bible says all the promises of God are yes and amen to the glory of God by us. He comes for the word's sake, but He can't just take it. He only takes it if you don't embrace it and make it yours and become a doer of it. And then when you don't do it, when you don't embrace it, when you don't unite with it, then the enemy comes and snatches that seed, the seed of God's word, off of your hardened, calloused, jaded, indifferent, overfamiliar heart. He snatches it from you because you haven't been breaking up your fallow ground. How does the prophet say it? Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord, beloved. You can't hear that message too much, beloved. If you have Him, you have what you need to stand in this hour. If you have the zeal of the Lord, if you have His presence in your life, you are going to be more than a conqueror, praise God. How did Jesus say it in John chapter 7? It says at that great day, the great day of the feast, it says Jesus cried out and said, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of your innermost being, beloved, shall flow rivers. Just ask Father right now, Father, I want the rivers to flow again. God, I want my heart to be broken and tender again. Lord, I want to be in a place where I can hear when You're speaking. I know Your still small voice is speaking, but I've not been able to hear the way You want me to hear. It's time to seek the Lord until He comes, praise God, and reigns righteousness. He wants to reign. He cried with a loud voice, if anyone thirsts, are you thirsty tonight? Are there dry, parched places in your life tonight? He wants to come and bring the rain, praise God. He wants to come and bring the oil, the healing of His presence. He wants to come and give you your rights as His child, the promises that are applicable in your life that you've not experienced yet. You're not yet walking in them, and they're yours in Christ. The Bible says we tread Satan beneath our feet with speed. We cast him out. He's a defeated foe, but he's boasting against God, and he's boasting against you and lying to you and saying, you can't get out from under this. You can't get out of this condition. But he is a liar from the beginning, and he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Just think of that. Jesus said, son, daughter, I want you to have my abundance. I have bounty for you as my child. I want you to know my bounty. I want you to know my fullness. I want you to know my power. I want you to know my victory. You are my physical, visible representative on this earth. And when they see you, they see me. I'll give you the grace to represent me. But you got to step out in faith. Let God arise and let His enemies be scattered. To make Your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at Your presence. When You did awesome things for which we did not look, You came down, the mountain shook at Your presence. Speaking of Sinai here, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides You. Who is like our God, beloved? Who can be likened? What can be compared to Him?
Judas sold him out, beloved, for 30 pieces of silver. We betray and sell him out. We let our hearts be distant from him. I don't think it's a malicious backsliding where we're just running headlong, running headlong into the world. We just allow lukewarmness too easily. We allow apathy too frequently. And God has been so good to us, and he woos us again. He woos us again, and he comes and he seeks us out again, and he draws us to himself with cords of love and compassion. Even though we're wayward, he draws us with cords of love and compassion, and to bring us back into himself, to himself, where our trust is in him alone. And that we know him as our source, not just financial source, but he is not only our source of finance, he is our life. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Oh, that our hearts would be consumed and so filled with Jesus that we would just overflow into our neighborhoods, at the workplace, in this community, wherever we are, wherever we're going, a song in our hearts. Our mouth filled with praise. The prayer language flowing freely. And you and I knowing the purpose of it. And just having that heart of intercession. That prayerfulness in the Holy Spirit. That readiness to just be used as a vessel of God at any moment, at any time. And I believe we've all tasted that, beloved. We all have. We've all known it at times more consistent than at other times. But tonight, let us be stirred again. We need more of that. We need that intimate walk. We need to be the people who walk with God in this hour. The people who know their God. Those who know their God, they have all that they need to represent him. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. And Jesus said, when you abide in me, you make your abode in me. I and the Father will come and make our dwelling in you. John 14. What else do we need but God? More of him. Whatever the situation is in our lives, what do we need? More of him. Oh, that's just too simple, Pastor Ron. No, it's not. The first commandment is love him. The whole duty of man is fear him. When God created man, it was to have dominion, yes, and to replenish and multiply, yes. That was his duty. That was his responsibility. But that was because he was made in the image and in the likeness of God. Oh, that we would have a heart like Mary when she heard his words. You know, sometimes we're at a place where our hearts are hungry and we're ready to receive, and other times we're just sitting there, man. We're dead like the dry bones at times. Mary heard his word and her heart was captured. Her heart was stilled. The tradition of hospitality and making everything right for Jesus, her heart was stilled by the word of God. She was captured and she was just mesmerized. She was just sitting at the feet of Jesus. She didn't at that point even care about what Martha was doing. She heard what God was saying. You know those times in your life where you're really quiet and you're basking and you're communing and your affections are set on the things that are above and the Holy Spirit touches your heart and the Word of God is quickened in your inner man and you know you're in fellowship and communion with the living God at that time. What matters? What is it that you care about or are anxious about or lustful about or prideful about or needing to be right about at that time? Nothing matters. All the cares of this life, what happened to them? They just fall off, praise God. And we have access to that all the time. And how little we partake. Yeah, we see through a glass darkly, but we could see way better. That's in comparison to seeing them face to face. But right here, right now, we could see him. It says Moses spoke to him face to face. And we know that's in a sense he spoke to him as a friend, but it says face to face. But we know that no one could see God and live. Because when he said, I want to see you, I want to know you, he said, I'm going to let you see my hinder parts. But it says he spoke to God face to face. What intimacy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, a cursory reading of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, It says that this glory that we have in Christ far surpasses that glory. I'm not saying we're more godly, we're better people than Moses. That's not what I'm saying. But what's available to us now through Calvary and through the resurrection and through this new covenant far surpasses that glory of the old covenant. We have so much knowledge and too little experience in walking and communing with God. And we're a people who know Him, beloved. We're a people who've tasted. We're a people who know His presence. We're a people who've been changed by His presence. We're a blessed people. We're a mature church. But there's more of Him. There's more ground to be taken. But it's God working in us. Amen. It's not something we're going to do in our own strength. We're not going to just through will worship generate some type of action and make something happen. Jesus said, I paid the price. You labor to get yourself out of the way so you can partake. We enter into His rest and we can bask and worship God for who He is and know Him for who He is. I think it's important tonight to identify what your hindrance is and to look at yourself with an honest heart and go, you know what? That changes tonight. I think there needs to be a purpose of heart as we hear the word of the Lord, a purpose of heart, that heart that cleaves to the Lord, that heart that purposes obedience, where we commit our obedience to God and ask Him for the power of His Spirit to walk in the consistency of it so we can be a people whose senses are exercised through use, Hebrews 5 says. That word use is talking about a training, a consistent habitual obedience. Our senses are exercised through use to be able to what? To discern both good and evil. And then Hebrews says that's what makes you mature and gets you off of the milk onto the strong meat. It's because you're a doer of the word and you're willing to do it no matter what the price is to your natural man. No matter what the price is in this world, what the price is to yourself or to your image, you're not worried about what people think. There is no price too high to obey. Our obedience is an expression of our worship, our fear, our love, our commitment to Jesus. His grace is at work in us, helping us to deny ungodliness, to say no to worldly lust and ungodliness and unrighteousness, to hate this world. It's His Spirit at work in us. The grace of God, it even says, that's been revealed to all men, that teaches us to say no to sin and to pursue God and for the Lord to be our delight. And you know, when we're satisfied in God, when we're satisfied in Him, that contentment is one of the most powerful things in our lives, beloved. When we're walking in that contentment and we're wanting or lusting or coveting for nothing, we're wanting for nothing. There is no want to those that fear Him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As His lordship's becoming more real, as you're letting Him have His rightful place as your shepherd, you're not going to want for anything. Why? You're satisfied in God Himself. You're satisfied by God alone. And when that's not there, all these other lusts that are in the world, all that's in the world is the lust of our what? Flesh and the lust of our eyes and the pride of life. Those lusts and that pride is not being had. It's not under the dominion of the Lordship of Jesus because we're not fellowshipping, communing. We're not in pursuit. The old man resurrects. He rises up, as we heard Pastor John. The sin in our members, the wretched man that we are in and of ourselves, rises back up. And now we're irritable, man, and we can get angry and sharp, and we begin to be critical and judgmental and self-righteous, and we got all this knowledge, but our hearts are not where they need to be with Jesus. Oh, that we would be quick when our hearts are not right to fall on the rock and let God work. Let Jesus come in as your high priest, as the apostle of your faith. Let Him come in and bring deliverance. He cares. He knows our frame is but dust. He knows that in the pursuit of perfection, we are not there yet. And He cares and He loves you. And though He's repulsed by sin because He's a holy God, He's able to reach in His love and care and pity for you and bring comfort and grace and restoration. Praise God. Verse 4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has I seen any God beside you. That's where I got off track. I got excited, I think, right there. If I go to Isaiah 40, it won't end. Isaiah 40 is one of the greatest chapters on just how big God is. If you need that glimpse again, just put in your notes. I might have said it about a month ago, but I'll say it again. Isaiah 40, powerful. Who is like our God? Who can be likened to our God? No one. When we don't spend the time we need to with God, when we don't spend time glimpsing Him through His Word, when we don't spend time stepping out and obeying the things He's been revealing to us, what happens is God begins to be small in our eyes. He's not small, but He becomes little to you because you haven't given Him His proper esteem. You haven't given Him His rightful place. You haven't given Him His proper regard, the proper fear, the proper love, the proper devotion, the proper consecration, the proper time. You haven't given the relationship what it needs to be what it can be. And the more you give the relationship, the love relationship time, the more you're conformed into that presence. The more you're conformed into what, the more your heart begins to delight in Him. The more His heart becomes your heart. The more His ways become your ways. The more His character is becoming a part of your life, a part of your being. It's becoming more a part of your spirit, not just something that's grazing the surface or touching you in your soul momentarily, but it's becoming something you're partaking of that you can give to someone else. Nor has any eye seen, nor has the eye seen any God besides you. And then look at this. Who acts for the one who waits for Him. That waiting is talking about being still, yes. But it's also talking about trusting on, relying on, believing on, worshiping. While you're waiting, what do you do when you're waiting on God? You worship. You make God big. You don't wait for God to do something you're believing for to worship Him. You worship Him because He's God, because He's worthy, because He saved you. He's ready to act on your behalf and show you great and mighty things that you know not. You meet Him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you and your ways. You could turn over to Ezekiel 37. We're talking about the dry bones. What does it say about David? It says that David was a man after God's what? Own heart. How many of you would like that to be your epitaph? How many of you would like that to be the testimony that's left from your life? That when you're remembered, the testimony of your life is, this person walked with God and their heart was after God. They walked with God and their heart was after God. And that was their treasure. And if anybody was asked of those who knew your life and your fruit, they said, what stands out most to you about that person's life? It's clear. I can answer that very easily. That person loved God more than anything. That person was in pursuit of Jesus, and Jesus meant more to him than anything. You see all those great people that we read about and these, some of these servants of God, God used, you might never do what they do. You probably won't. Some of us might. But I'll tell you one thing you can have in common with all of them. And that's being a worshiper. That's being someone who walks with God. That's someone who's an intercessor, someone who has a prayer life, someone who is in love with Jesus, someone who walks with Him. And you might not write, you might not have fruit or a life that's ever written about that others read about. But God sees. It's recorded with God. David was a man who had a heart for God. God used him mightily, but he had that heart before he was ever anointed. Right? Backside of the desert, the man was a worshiper. And then, when there came a time in his life where his own son wanted to drive him out of Jerusalem, he was king. His son was a rebel. His son Absalom. He didn't have to leave. He said, I'm not going to fight. If God wants me here, God will bring me back. Amen? And the same spirit of the guy who got anointed, because he loved God. Now, Absalom, his own son's coming to get him, take over. And David's leaving Jerusalem. Doesn't want war with his son. Doesn't want fight in the flesh. He's leaving, and the ark's going with him. And David's like, hey, take the ark back. And I'm like, I'm paraphrasing. No, take it back. It belongs there in Jerusalem. If the Lord's done with me, so be it. But if he's not, he'll bring me back. The Lord will bring me back. See, he wasn't in love with the ministry or service first. That's the result of love. That's the result of relationship. It's part of, but it's the result of. What a heart at the end. And with all of David's victories and defeats, the New Testament records about his life that I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. Is that the God of grace or what? Is that the God we talk about, Ephiemi? Who walks in Ephiemi more perfectly than God? God forgives and he casts our sins behind his back. That's how God sees us tonight. When there's confession in our lives, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Can I tell you? If you're not seeing areas of sin in your life that need to be forsaken, you're probably not getting close enough to the light of God's word and the light of God's presence. You're not getting quiet enough. If you're going that many days without seeing something in your life that needs a change, trust me, you need to get more intimate with Jesus. He will comfort you, yes. He is the potter, you're the clay. He'll continue to mold you, yes. He cares. He's touched. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. All that grace. And part of that grace is sanctifying and making us ready for his soon coming. And he said he's coming back for a glorious church without spot, blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. And he does it through the washing. He's sanctifying the church and washing the church through the water of what? Through the water of the word. That's the word you read. That's the word you study. That's the word you obey. That's the word you meditate on and ponder. That's the word spoken by the body. That's the word spoken by the ministry gifts. That's the word that you pick up when you're reading some of the books and it has biblical principles in it. Can these dry bones live? I can make it simple and save time because I got to go to other areas. And he caused me, verse 2, to pass by all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. It says at the end of verse 1, it was full of bones. Very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Very dry. Turn over to Psalm 63. You can keep your finger here for a moment. We need to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, amen? So that out of our innermost being will flow. If it's flowing, then continue to flow, praise God, rivers. Verse 1, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you. Look at this, in a dry and thirsty land. You know, in this hour, if your heart's not fixed on God, if you don't seek him with purpose of heart, you will be tossed to and fro by these circumstances, these cares, all these different lusts that we're surrounded by, all this success, all this greed, all this stuff that we can play with, All these pleasures, all these trinkets, all these entertainments, all these seducing spirits, there is so much in this Sodom and Gomorrah that can vex your righteous soul from day to day. And seeing and hearing, it says, Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah vexed his righteous soul. Sorry. Good thing y'all weren't close. Warren, it looked like you got hit. It says he vexed his righteous soul. How? From day to day in doing what? In seeing and hearing. It says in Timothy that one of the characteristics of the last days and some of the condition you're going to see in people professing faith is they're going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The test of our hearts for all of us all the time is when we get downtime, do we know how to get refreshed without forsaking God? Do we know how to get the rest that we need and stay built up in the Spirit and available at His bidding? Do you know how to drink and lap the water and know we're at war? God provided refreshing in the story of Gideon. How many of them just jumped in headlong and absolutely disregarded the hour? What the circumstances were, where the enemies were. They just dove headlong in. I think sometimes we can be that way. But there were 300 that went down to God's provision, God's blessing, God's refreshing, a time of God blessing them, and just went down and stayed alert, stayed watchful, stayed prayerful. What did Jesus say about it? Watch and pray. That you what? Don't what? It doesn't say watch and pray so that you won't be tempted. It said watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. He said watch and pray. They didn't do it. And what happened when temptation came? They were still what? He came the third time and they were still what? Sleeping. What does Ephesians 5 say about sleep? It says awake thou that what? Sleepest. It's a spiritual slumber that's being addressed in that passage. Awake thou that sleepest and what? Arise from the dead. Arise from your stupor. Arise from your dryness. Arise from being consumed with the natural. Your body is the temple of the living God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're a vessel of God. And we can't do it without His grace. But His grace is sufficient. They lap the water. Watch and pray. We spoke this morning that men ought always to pray and not to faint from Luke 18. We read this morning from Luke 11 that they came to the Lord. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And He taught them. He ministered to them how to pray. In the model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, trusting Him for our provision. Our cupboards, man, are full. Our refrigerators are packed. Some of us, like us who have a big family, we have a big refrigerator in the garage and one in the kitchen. Family of two. My dog is a pig, man. He's only 18 pounds. He doesn't eat that much. What does that mean? How do you trust God when you have all that we have? You can. It's not as easy, but you can. Through relationship, through faith. These blessings have overtaken us mostly. Some of us have sorrow with our blessings, but we can't apologize for the Lord's blessings that make rich and add no sorrow with them. The Bible says, by humility and fear of the Lord, our riches, honor, and life. The Lord's blessings overtook us, praise God. But we can't become possessive of them or possessed by them. We still got to hold them lightly and remember that He's blessed us so we can also be a blessing. And I believe we are that type of people. But be on guard against that spirit of greed and covetousness. Even Jesus said when those two brothers wanted to make him like a mediator over like the, you know, the will or whatever it was, the inheritance, he said, take heed and beware of what? Covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. And so many times what we possess begins to what? Possess us. It's not the possession that's the problem. It's the loss of treasure, Jesus being our treasure. It's a treasure heart problem. And when you get your heart right, the Lord will let you know if you got too much or something you need to let go of or give away. He was speaking to you to give something away and you were looking for what you could get out of it. We need to be a people who still know and walk in the blessedness of giving. Amen. That God loves a cheerful giver. Not just a faithful giver, a hilarious giver, praise God. Look at this, my soul, you all know that one of the biggest battles is in the soul, where the emotions and the mind and the will are. That's where the war is, man. My soul thirsts for you. You know, Satan tries to really wreak havoc on our souls and try to... It's not just Satan, there's circumstances, there's our own condition, our own self-will. But I just want to encourage you tonight, there's salvation for our souls. There's salvation for your mind tonight. There's salvation for your emotions tonight through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's salvation for the power of our wills tonight. How many of you know that I'm not the only person in this room who's strong-willed and self-willed? Every hand should go up. I don't care if you're Palestinian, Jew, or any other nationality. If you're if you got Adamic nature, you're self-willed and you're selfish as anybody else. In any area that you're free of it, it's Jesus at work in you. It doesn't matter what your background is. Well, I'm just joking. Sometimes we joke about it too much. You say, well, are you saying you're not hard-headed? I'm saying I am, but it's not because I'm Palestinian. It's because I'm Adamic. And I let that rise up. And my self will rise up. But it just happens that a lot of Palestinians are prideful. Just saying. I call a spade, man. Y'all aware most Palestinians are Muslim? Y'all aware? There's only like less than 2% that are born Christian, and I mean Christian by name, and they're born like 99% Muslim by name. My brother and I were just among a very small percentage of Palestinians that were born to Christian families. But that doesn't mean we were Christian. It just meant we wore a cross on our neck, right, Mike? I pictured Jesus in our room while we cursed him. And did our own will. Thank God for being saved by grace, man. The goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Amen. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. But we heard tonight there's water for your thirsty soul. Praise God. There's water that you can drink. There's heavenly water that you can partake of. There's rivers available to us. Amen. Why don't we stand before the Lord? Praise God. Hallelujah. It's been a good time in His presence. Amen. When worship first started tonight, I wondered if anybody was home. But then the Lord showed up. Amen. Good time in His presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Your goodness to us, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just trust the Lord to have His way. Just trust Him to have His way in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just like that woman with the issue of blood, just run to Him. Reach out to Him. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let any distraction, any appetite, any lust. I gotta get to Jesus, and He's available. He's willing to meet with me. His eyes are open. His eyes are on me and his ears are open to my cry. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, minister life to your people, Lord. Lord, stretch forth your hand in this place and touch hearts. Turn hearts toward you. Fill hearts tonight. Father, heal minds in the name of Jesus. Lord, bring peace to troubled minds. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Hallelujah. 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 Seek him till he comes and rains righteousness upon you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Help us to break up our fallow ground. You said it's time to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. To lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. Hallelujah. Father, you're worthy. You're worthy tonight, Lord. You're worthy of praise. Oh, some of you need to be free to open your mouth and begin to praise God. Begin to thank him with your lips. Don't tell me about your personality. You need to open your mouth and praise and boast on your God. There's no shy clause in the Bible, praise God. Shout joyfully to your God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord God. You're worthy of praise. Early will I seek you, Lord. I'm desperate for you tonight. Father, I need you, Lord. I need your visitation. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's no God like you, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Worthy of praise. Worthy, 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 Lord, worthy. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you, precious Lord. Thank you, beautiful Savior. Glory to your name. Great is our God and greatly to be praised. Oh God, that you would be the delight of our hearts, what we treasure, who we treasure, Lord. Lord, that our eye would be single, Lord Jesus. Turn our hearts back to you, Lord. That you would be all in all, Lord. The one who satisfies. To behold your beauty. To inquire in your temple. To seek more than anything to please you. And at the end of this walk to hear well done. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Praise God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'll come into his courts with what? Praise. He inhabits our praise. He's enthroned on our praise. Thank you, Father, for your visitation. Thank you for your work in our lives. We will be careful to give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to someone and say, he's good and he's greatly to be praised. Amen.